Tonight's shir, Parshas B'Shalach. Sedra begins, Vayi B'Shalach Paro Es Ha'am. Shmos Rabba says, Vayihi is Lashon Oivai. Like, Oivai, terrible. Like, Oivai. That's Lashon Vayihi. So the question's obvious, what's so Oivai? It's a very nice thing. Vayi B'Shalach Paro Es Ha'am. Paro sent the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. That's a very happy thing. Why should it be Oivai? Why should it be Vayihi, Lashon Sar? Another question. It says, as we said, Vayihi B'Shalach Paro Es Ha'am. What? Pharaoh sent out the Jewish people. It probably was a Kodesh Baruch Hu, right? As the pasuk says, "Beferesh vayhi be'etzem ayom hazeh hotzi Hashem es bnei Yisrael meretz Mitzrayim al tzivosam." It says in Parshas Bo, Hashem took them out. So what's vayhi b'shalach Pharaoh asam? So he says in Achanami, one question answers the other. You know, it was really, of course, it was the Kodesh Baruch Hu that sent them out. But what? What was written in the newspapers the next day? Headlines: Pharaoh, King Paro sends out the Jewish people from his land. You know, what do you mean Paro sends out the people? What's the Kodesh Baruch Hu that sent him out? Oivei! Look at what kind of headlines is that. So the Oivei is the, and it's Oivei because it says Paro Shalach Hazam. It wasn't Paro, it was the Kodesh Baruch Hu. That, in fact, is the Oivei. Unfortunately, we have the wrong hashkafas. We don't see things properly as we should through the eyes of the Torah. Brings Maisa that in Mir, Europe, they had a market where they used to have, like, once a week, where the farmers in the area used to come and sell their stuff. And once, one week, they had a bus that used to come around the area there around Mir, and they pick up, this bus would pick up the farmers and bring them to the market. So one week, they picked them up. There were 45 farmers on the bus. And the bus went over a bridge. The bridge collapsed, and they all plummeted to their deaths. 45 farmers. So, of course, the talk of the town was, who's at fault? You know, they're pointing their finger at everything. Well, it's the engineers of the bridge. They didn't engineer. Oh, it wasn't built strong enough. Oh, no, it was not that. It was the driver, you know, because the driver shouldn't have taken so many people on the bridge, or he should have driven faster and not driven so slow, and whatever. Everybody had their opinion. So, Rav Yerucha Mimir, he got up to say a sicha, and he wanted to put things in the proper perspective, in a Torah perspective. And he gave the following mashal. He says, imagine a guy, he murdered somebody, and he's caught by the police. So he's sentenced, you know, for capital punishment. Okay, he's going to be killed. However, they don't, you know, grab him and right away kill him right away. Yeah, it's a procedure, you know. So in the meantime, they throw him into prison, and then they go through the paperwork, whatever, and then they set a date when he's going to be placed in front of the firing squad. So imagine such a person, he's in prison, and dafka those prisoners there, they have it, so to speak, good, because they know that it's just a limited amount of time. They're going to be the last days or weeks on earth, so they may give them good food or whatever, why not? I mean, that's it, they're only there for a little while until they're going to be killed. And in this, with this guy afterwards comes another guy that was thrown in there for counterfeiting, and another for smuggling, whatever, and they all have, let's say, a death penalty. So they're all in this prison, but they're having it okay. Like we said, the conditions are fine. They have their television, they have their food, whatever, and it's okay, whatever. However, things are all fine and dandy until the day of execution comes. And they're all called out, they line up against the wall, a firing squad kills them all. So he says, same thing over here. He says, on Rosh Hashanah, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you know, it says, we say in Ulasana Tokov, Mi Yechia, Mi Yamus. It says, Kol Bayolam Ovrim Lefanav. It's not only the Jews, but also the Goyim. Everybody passes for Hashem, and Hashem judges who's gonna live, who's going to die. So it's all already set on Rosh Hashanah. But what? Hashem doesn't, the people are supposed to die, or everybody in Rosh Hashanah collapses, right? It means that year, someone, this one, someone, yeah, whatever, it's Hashem, you know, when it's time come. But so the whole year, until they die, they think everything's fine. They don't realize that they're on borrowed time, because Maisa, this is the year they're going to die. But they don't realize that. They're okay, fine. They're living their life, not realizing that they're like these prisoners in the cell, that the time's going to come, and they're going to, that's it, they're going to meet their end. So he says this thing, that's what happened over here. Here we have these 45 farmers. They were the Gzar that in Rosh Hashanah, they were to die. So in the meantime, fine, everything's going. They thought everything was fine, living their lives, whatever, and I'm going to the market, right? Not realizing that there were like these people in the prison, that they're there on borrowed time, and then until they have to go in front of the firing squad. In this case, they all got on the bus collapsed, you know, fell, the bridge collapsed, and they all died, and that's it. So that's the proper hashkafa, but unfortunately, vayihi oyvai, that people don't realize that they think, oh, who's at fault? What's the fault? This is my fault. This is it. This is nixar min hashamai, and that's that. He says the biggest pele is Paro himself. We find, right? Paro, he was, after the Yasser Makkos, he was like, get out of here! He was like chasing the Jews out already. Enough, I can't stand it anymore. Please, leave. He was pushing them out. And then what does it say in the beginning of the Sedra? It says, Paro says to his people, Mazos asinu ki shilachnu es Yisrael miavdeinu. What did we do that we sent the people away? You know, what did we do? What did we send? Kadosh Baruch Hu took them out again. And even Paro is the same crooked krum hashgacha. Okay. The Gemara says in Sota, the Flamed Vav, rings a brisa. Because Rabbi Meir used to say, Kishamdu Yisrael alayam hayu shvatim menatzchim zeim zeh. That when they were at the Yamsuf, the tribes, they were arguing with each other. Zeo Mirani Yared Liyam Tila. Zeo Mirani Yared Liyam Tila. It says, we're going into the Yam first. The other Sheshevet, the other tribe said, no, we're going to go into the Yam first, etc. Until Shifto Shel Bin Yamin, he went in first. Now, that's Rabbi Meir. So, Amalo Rabbi Yehuda. He said, no, lo kachaya maise. That's not the way it was. Rather, Elazeo mer ein ani yored liyam tchila. Vezeo mer ein ani yored liyam tchila. Chavetz Nachshon ben einav naviyara liyam tchila. The opposite, Rabbi Yehuda said. They said, I'm not going in first, you go first. The other one said, no, I'm not going to go in first, you go first. They didn't want to go until Nachshon went in. So, it's known that when it comes to Agada, we say there's no machloikas. The Elu Elu Dibrelin Kim Chaim. The question is, how do you meyashev both these sheetahs? What do you mean Elu? This one says, you know, that they wanted to go in. The other sheetah, Rabbi Yehuda said, they didn't want to go in. So he says, perhaps we can understand it the following way. That really, they, at first, said, they argued, each one wanted to go in, right? This sheetah said, we want to go in first. And one said, no, we want to go in first. That's what they said. However, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Lo kachaya maisa. When it came lemaisa, when it came to actually going, and then maybe you go first. No, you go first. Big talkers. When it comes before, yeah, I want to go. When it came to lemaisa, lokacha ya maisa. When it came to lemaisa, then all of a sudden they changed their tune. Maybe you should go first. No, you should go first. So he says that we find that you have a yeshiva bacher, right? That's age, you know, shidduch age, and he wants to, you know, get married. So he says, I want to stay in learning my whole life. You know, I want to, whole life, you know, shifti b'meis Hashem, kol yemei chayei, right? I want to stay and learn my whole life, and because of that, therefore, I want to, you know, for shidduch, I want a girl that her side is going to give me a sidur malay, they call it. Pay for my apartment, pay for my this, pay for my that, you know, full everything. Why? Because I'm going to stay and learn. So he says, you know, I like to say there's a bacher like that. I says, it's very nice, but forget about, you know, learning your whole life. He says, what about today? You know, what about today? He says, are you going to come on time to say it this morning? He says, are you going to learn properly? Are you going to schmooze maybe? Or are you going to daydream or whatever? You know, very nice. You know, you're talking about learning your whole life, but, you know, first let's learn this whole week. And then we'll talk about your life, you know. So he says, you know, fortunately people are big talkers when it comes down to it. We can say, little maisa here. There's in the olden days, right, they didn't have faucets in the house. They had to get water. They had to go out to the well, you know, to draw water. So it was once in the winter. It was very, very cold outside, freezing cold. And it was in the late evening. And the father of the house calls out, he says to his sons, he has like five sons, he calls out to his sons and he says, I want a drink of water. Can you please get me a drink of water? So, okay, you know, big mitzvah, kibud avim, go outside in the freezing cold, draw on the water for the father, you know. So they got together, and the Bachor, the older son, got the sons together, the brothers, and he says, okay, we have a big mitzvah here to go outside and get our father water. Okay, so we're going to auction it off. Who wants this great mitzvah? So first son says, okay, 10 shekels, I'll 10 shekels. So the next one says, oh, 15 shekels, first son, 20 shekels, and next son, 25, whatever. So finally the last son, the youngest son, says, what? 25, 30 shekels, what? It's our father over here. What is it? In the meantime, the father's, calling out, where's my cup of water? Kind of, so the Bukhoi says, wait, we're working it out, Dad, don't worry, okay. So anyway, so the youngest son says, what kind of a deal is this? 30 shekels. So he says, yeah, what do you offer? He says, 50 shekels. I put 50 shekels down. So the Bukhoi says, okay, 50 shekels going once, 50 shekels going twice, 50 shekels sold to the youngest brother. So he goes, okay, you're Zoche, you got the great mitzvah of Kibbutz. So the youngest son says, okay, great, thank you very much. He says, and I give my father the honor. Big talkers. Okay. We saw the Bryson Sota, he brings it again here. Rabbi Meir says that the Shvatim were again arguing. This one says, I'm going to go first, and that one says, I'm going to go first. And then it says, so we saw Kafetz Shifto Shel Binyamin, and he went first. And then the Gemara continues and says, at that moment, Moshe was davening, and Hashem said, why are my dear ones are drowning in the sea, Tovim Bayam, and you're Mayrich Betfila. So then what happened? So Moshe says, what am I supposed to do? So Hashem says, the Bereb Bnei Yisrael, so speak to them, and they should go. And what happened? The next pasuk, put your, lift up your rod, and put your hand over the water, and split it, Yisrael, and they're going to go in the Petocha Yam B'Yabasha. So the Marsha on the Gemara over there has an interesting taich. He said that Shifta bin Yamin, we said they went in right away. I said, I want, they just went in. So concerning them is the pasuk Tesvav that says, Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yisrael. Like Rashi says that nothing standing in front of them, the Yam is not there, it's not a problem. Meaning they jumped in and the Yam didn't bother them. They were able to go into the thing when they're. But what? He says, but the rest of b'nei Yisrael, they didn't have the same bitachon. They couldn't just jump into the water as it is, and they didn't trust. So then comes pasuk tezayin, v'taharemis matcha u'neteyat yadcha alayam v'kayehu. Then Moshe had to take his rod or whatever, and then split the thing because they didn't have the bitachon. So Moshe had to do an act to split the sea for them. So we see from here that if a person or people or person has bitachon, complete bitachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then things just happen automatically. Everything that's, you get bracha, shefa bracha, just like that. If you don't have so much bitachon, then Hashem has to come in and interfere and try to make things work out. We see this, an example of this, with the Noam Elimelech, says in Parshas Bahar, and the shame of his brother Azusha, and by Shemitah. Right, it says over there in the pasuk, "V'nasnar is piria, v'chaltem lasova, v'shavtem lebetachala." Says you'll eat the fruit to your full. Okay, lasova, v'shavtem lebetachala. Nothing to worry about, right? These are talking to people that have a high level of bitachon. What are they going to eat? They're not going to plant for a year. What are they going to eat? They don't ask questions. And Hashem takes care of them, just like that. Like we said, automatically. Everything works out. They eat a little bit, and they're satiated, whatever. Nothing to worry about. Then the pasuk says after that, however, there are those that are not so such big bali bitachon. And they say, v'chi tomru, manu chal bashana shviz, hein lo nizrav lo nesefet tu atzenu. What are we going to eat? We didn't plan that. They start asking questions. To them, what does the Torah say? V'tzivisiyas birchasi bashana shishiz. Then I'm going to command my bracha, says Hashem, and then there's going to be extra truah on the sixth year, they'll have enough, etc., etc. These are people on a lower level, once they ask questions, and then Hashem has to interfere, like we said. It's not automatic, instant bracha, but Hashem has to interfere. He brings from Divrei Yisrael, name of Yechezkel Mikuzmir, see another example of this in the Parsha in Malachim Beis. It says, There was a man that came from Baal Shalisha, that's the name of the place, and he came to Elisha, a Navi, and brought with him to give to Elisha lechem bikurim. These little buns, whatever, of bread. So there was 20 breads. He gave it to Elisha. And Elisha said, ten lam v'yochelu. So give it to the people to eat. Now, how many people were there? 100. Just give these 100 buns, these 20 buns, these under 100 people. So Gehazi, which was Elisha's servant, he said, what? 20 buns, 100 people? How am I going to do that? What's going on? So he said, Tein lam v'yochelu, give it to them, they'll eat. Ki ko amar Hashem, so says Hashem, achol v'yoseh, that they'll eat and even have leftover. And what happened? Exactly as Hashem said, they ate and they had leftover. So he said, you have to understand, right? Elisha, he had these 20 buns. He told give them to these people. He saw there was 100 people there. And he didn't say, don't worry, they're going to eat and they'll be left over. He didn't say anything, just give it to him. Only after Gehazi said, oh, am I going to give it up? Then he says, oh, okay, don't worry, they'll go eat and they'll be left over. Why didn't he say that right at the beginning? He saw there was 100 people. The answer is exactly what we said. Elisha said, if you have bitachon, everything will work out automatically. 20 buns, 100 people, yeah, don't worry about it, it'll work. But only because Gehazi didn't have bitachon, and he had to ask the question, like we saw in Shemitah, hey, 20 buns and 100 people, what is it? So therefore, Elisha had to say, Ko Amar Hashem. Hashem now has to intervene. Ko Amar Hashem, Achol V'Yoseh. And that's what happened. Brings a somewhat famous maisot that the Sabami Nevardach, it was known in the Nevardach Yeshiva, and they used to have in the Mizrach, in the front of the Beis Medrash, a candle, like it was burnt down somewhat, and everybody used to call it, that's the Ner Bitachon, the candle of Bitachon. So a famous story, that what happened, what's the story behind this candle, that there was they used to, in the forest, they used to cut down trees. And the people, they're working there, they built like a little hut in there to stay, while they're working, cutting down the trees. And then they finished working there, and they left this hut, and they went. So the altar, the Vardak had heard about this little hut, and he goes, this is the one perfect place for Yisbo to do. So I'm out nowhere in the middle of the forest, and quiet thing, and I can, go and learn my Musa or whatever, and do Cheshbon and Nefesh. And that's what he used to do. He used to go out into the forest, into the little hut, and do Yisbo to this, whatever. So what happened? Once he was there one evening, and it was getting dark, and he didn't take, enough oil or whatever it might be, or enough wax for his candles. And it burnt out, and it burnt down, there was nothing left. And he had no other candle, and he was in the dark. But he was known to be, of course, a very big Baal Bitachon. And he didn't say, what should I do? He said, no, I'm going to have Bitachon. He just sat there in the dark, going to have Bitachon. What happens? A few minutes later, all of a sudden, the door of the hut opens up, a guy comes in with a candle, puts the candle, lit candle on the table, and walks out. In the middle of the forest, just like that. So he said, who was it? Eliyahu Navi? No. Well, the Maisa, it was a result, a fruit of his tremendous bitachon in Hashem. And then after he finished learning, he put out the candle, he brought it back to the yeshiva, and they put it in the Mizrach. This is the Ner Bitachon of the ultimate Varda. So the end of the story goes, though, that there was a fire in the area of the yeshiva over there, and they were scared that the fire was going to burn down Chas Hashem, the yeshiva, with Sifrei Torah, whatever. So the Bachrim quickly ran and took the Sifrei Torah and this and whatever. As it happens, the fire came right near the yeshiva, but didn't actually hit the yeshiva. But they, since it was very hot from the fire, it was right next door, it burnt down this candle, melted the candle, the Ner Bitachon. And the Bachrim were so upset, that we lost the Ner Bitachon, that it melted. And they were saying, why didn't we take it? We should have taken it with the Sifrei Torah, but okay, got melted down. But the altar said, he wasn't upset. He says, Hashem gave it, Hashem took it away. And to teach us that we don't need a candle of Bitachon to have Bitachon. We can do without it. So there's a beautiful Maisa, he brings here, from Panovich Rav, with the bitachon. The Panavritcher Rav said, when I was a magichir in Navardach, he said the candle wasn't there anymore. It was after it was burnt. But he says, but you see that, you know, you can have bitachon, you know, you don't need the candle. Well, what's the story? He said he became, he was a young man, he became the Rav Panovich. And they had the Torah institutions, but he didn't like this set up, because they used to rent a little house over here, or rent something place here, and everything was mefuzar. It was all over the city, the different the kolo here, a yeshiva here, a school. It wasn't, he wanted therefore to have like a campus, you know, one place where they can be the kolo, the yeshiva, the Talmud Torah, and it's good, because then, you know, the older people can influence the younger ones, and everything's good. For chinuch wise also was a very positive idea. But, you know, how's he going to do this? So he was. He got word that there's the priest, he owned this very large area that he was putting up for sale. So the Panovich Rebbe says, oh, this would be perfect. It's a huge area where you can build, you know, nice buildings and have a whole campus, you know, educational place. So he approached the Comer and said he'd like to buy it. So the Comer said, well, really, you know, it was really worth like 100,000, whatever you call those, the money in those days. They call, say, dollars, okay, $100,000. But he said, if you give me cash, I'll give it to you for $25,000. Thinking that there's no way he's going to come up with $25,000. But he said, okay, give me cash, I'll give it to $25,000. So the Panovich Rav said to him, you know, I really don't have, the money, but can you give me a couple of days just to, you know, see what I can do? So the priest said, you know, fine. So he had an idea. His in-laws, when they got married, gave him $5,000. Okay, it's not dollars, whatever it was, $5,000 we'll call it. Gave him $5,000. And that he should have that to help marry off his kids, and the time comes when they get old, whatever, you know, savings to be able to marry off his kids. So he gave them $5,000. So he asked his wife, with her permission, if he can take that money, give it to the Comer as a down payment, and he was going to ask the Comer to give the following deal. He says, here, I'll give you right now $5,000 in cash. I owe you another $20,000. Give me 3 months, and I'll come up with the rest of the cash. If I come up with it, that's it, it's mine, I'll buy it. If I don't, you can keep the $5,000. So the priest thought he would make himself easy $5,000, because he's probably not going to come up $20,000, a lot of money in those days. So he said, fine, no problem. So he gave him the $5,000, and his idea was, once he makes the first step, then he'll go to the Gvirim and ask them to, you know, give donations, and he'll make up the other $20,000. Fine. So they made a deal, they wrote down everything on paper, official, gives him the $5,000, and then he starts going to the Gvirim. However, he wasn't as successful as they thought he would be. They were very open and very nice about it, but everyone had, I don't have any money right now, my cash flow situation, little thing, but don't, I promise, I'll give it to you, but just not now. And everyone gave promises, but nobody came up with the money. Anyways, the day after day, week after week went by, and he was not able to come up with any money. So the 3 months ended on Sunday. Okay, and that Shabbos before, he hadn't come up with the money yet, the $20,000, and that Shabbos before, you know, the day before, his in-laws happened to be over at his house for Shabbos. So they came over, and they saw that their daughter, you know, his wife was like upset, you know, visibly upset. They said, what's wrong? Why do you look so upset? So she broke down. She told them, you know, we took the $5,000 of the new dunya, and we put it there and told them the story. They freaked out. They said, what? How could you have done just a thing? And he said, you have no idea. He goes, that Shabbos, he says, I don't wish it on my worst enemies. He goes, the whole Shabbos, they were screaming at me. He says, how can you have done that? We give you this money for your, you know, the children, and you go spend the thing, and you know, who do you think you are? You know, you're some young rabbi. You think you can build this huge institute and whatever, and then, you know, and the thing, and you don't say, tomorrow you have to come out there, you don't have the money, and you lost the money. And, the whole Shabbos. He said, it was murder. Anyways, as soon as Motzi Shabbos, you know, after Havdalah, he just like had to get out of there. You know, so he goes, okay, I have to go learn. So he just like ran out of the house. He said, went to the Beis Medrash and got himself involved in a good sugya, and he just forgot about the world. and he's just sitting there learning. He was learning, and he forgot about the whole thing. So finally, he finishes his learning, and he looks at his watch. It's 2:00 in the morning, and he goes, "Okay, you know, I better get home. It's getting late." So he makes his way back home. He, as he's approaching his house, of course, everybody's houses, the lights are out, you know, because it's 2:00 in the morning, but he sees the lights on in his house. So he goes, "Uh-oh, don't tell me my in-laws are still there." You know, he says, "Oh, no." So he says, "Okay, what can you do? You know, I got to go home." So he knocks on the door, whatever, he comes in, and he didn't see his in-laws. He sees these two men who he knew. These two Gvirim. And he's like, "What are you doing here?" So they said, "Well, first of all, Magialanu Mazal Tov, that we're mechutanim. We made a shidduch between our children." "Oh, Mazal Tov, Mazal Tov." Says, "Yeah." So he says, "Well, we've been waiting for you because we have a favor to ask of you." He says, "What's that?" He says, "Well, we each just promised to put down a sum of money towards the couple, or whatever. But the wedding's not, you know, now. It's going to be in a little while. So we wanted to give it to you. We can trust you, the Rav, to hold on to the money." So he says, "How much money is that?" He says, "Well, we each said we're going to give $10,000. Together is $20,000. So he says, "Well, I think it's," "I don't have a safe, so I can't, you know, I'm scared to keep the money. But so if you don't mind, if you don't mind me using the money, and then later on I'll, you know, use it in the meantime, and then return it to you when you need it, you know, getting it back for the weddings, whatever." So they said, "Sure, no problem. Okay, no problem." So great. So they gave him the $20,000 and that, and then they left. So this was exactly what he needed for the rest of the money for the thing, for the goy. So he said he didn't sleep the whole night because he was scared. He didn't want to fall asleep and, you know, something, get robbed or something that night. So he just stayed up the rest of the night, davenates, and then immediately went to the goy and says, "Here's $20,000 for the rest of the money." The goy was in shock. He was a little bit upset because he thought he could make himself $5,000. But he came out the money, signed and sealed. He bought the thing. Anyways, so what happened? He comes back afterwards, you know, from dealing with the goy, and he finds the mechutanim back at his house. So he says, "What are you doing here?" So they said, "The shidduch broke off. So can we have our money back?" However, he said, "Listen, I don't have the money." "What, already?" He said, "Yeah, you know, I don't have the money, but I told you I was going to use the money. You said it was okay." And then, so he said, you said you wouldn't need it for another 6 months or something. So, you know, I'll give it back to you, but, you know, six months. Okay, they couldn't, you know, that's not Amos. And that was that. And then he had 6 months. He was able to, like we said, there were Gvirim that said they would give money. This they didn't have at the time. So he was able to cash in on the promises that he was promised. And he got the money and he built this campus there that housed 2,000 Talmidim altogether with the campus that he built. So that's his story of Bitachon. Okay. It says at the end of the Sedra, Gemara in Tainus brings down, "Lo'olam yitztayir adam yimet tzibur. Shekem atzina b'Moshe Rabbeinu shetzir atzmo yimet tzibur." Person should be mitzayir with the tzibur. He said, Moshe Rabbeinu, he was mitzayir himself with the tzibur. Where do we see that? But at the end of the Sedra, it's Milchemes Amalek. It said, "Videi Moshe kvedim, v'yikhu even v'yasimu tachta v'yeshev ala." Moshe got tired, lifting up his hands, so they put a rock underneath him, and he sat down on it. So what? They didn't find, the Gemara says, couldn't find a cushion? I said, a rock? You know? So, Ella, Moshe says, "Since Yisrael are shruim betzar, afaniya yeimahem betzar." You know, I say, "Bolim chavero," right? They're suffering there. I mean, so why should I sit on a comfortable cushion? They're out there fighting, whatever, they're in tzar, so I have to be betzar also. So he brings a maisa that when he was in Siberia, right? There was 120 bachrim from the border yeshiva with him, and as it happened, there the mashkiach, which was the tzaddik Rev Yisrael Moshevitz, he was with them. So he was much, he was like double their age, you know, he was a mashkiach. And there was, their job was that they had to cut down trees in the forest. Now, he says, this gives me an idea of these trees. These are huge trees. He says, once we, after they cut down these trees, a tree, they counted the rings. So if you count the rings, it sees how old the tree is. They counted the rings. There was 1,500 rings. It means it's a 1,500-year-old tree. Okay? Which, and there are things like that, trees like that. Anyways, so these are huge, you can imagine the size of this tree. So he said what we did was we divided ourselves up into three groups, right? There were the strong, husky Bachurim. So they made sure that they did more than the quota. And then the Beinoni ones, they, you know, pretty much tried the quota. And then there was the weak ones, they kept a separate group, they were not able to keep up. But then, therefore, the ones that were the strong ones, they made up for the quota, and that's how they set themselves up. Anyways, but they decided, pe'achad, they all agreed that if they didn't want the Mashkiach, you know, Chas v'Shalom, you know, Mashkiach says it work. So they decided that they'll say, Mashkiach, we'll take your, whatever is meant, that you have to cut, we'll, you know, we'll cover for you, and if you don't have to, of course, do any cutting. That was number one. And the second thing, he said, Rav Yaakov said he made a friend in the kitchen, whatever, that since they didn't eat the treifas, he wanted some, make a deal that he'll get some extra bread, because they didn't eat the meat and anything like that. So the guy said fine, and he gave him an extra 10 portions of bread. So also the Bachurim agreed that even those 10 portions for like 100 guys or whatever, but they again one portion goes to the Mashkiach, and the other 9 portions are divided out equally a little bit to everybody. So that was their decision, and Rav Yaakov, he says he was the one who had to tell the Mashkiach what they decided. So he came to tell him the good news, you know. He says, and what? He said, the Mashkiach said nothing doing. He said, nothing doing. I'm going to be like everybody else. And not only that, I'm going to go into the group with the husky guys. Even though he was older and scrawny and weak, whatever, he says, I'm going with the big guys. And he went, joined the group with the big strong guys cutting the trees, and he didn't take any extra bread. He just took like everybody else. And he brings one last mice. He says, he had a friend, Rabbi Yamin Mihusakov, from the yeshiva. And he was lucked out that instead of having to saw these trees in the freezing cold, you know, in the forest, his was in the kitchen. He was in the kitchen. And the kitchen's a, you know, cushy job. First of all, it's warm, right? You don't have to be on the minus, you know, freezing cold weather. And you don't have to do that same, you know, physical activity in the freezing cold. And he gets as much food as he wants in the kitchen, right? He says, but he had aides from the people, not him, but the aides of the people working in the kitchen, that he didn't eat any more than any of the other Bachum's rations that they were out there working in the thing. Even though he could have eaten as much as heart's content, he made sure he didn't eat anywhere. Why? Same thing, no sebol and chavero. My friends are, I think so. So he said, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu, you know, he was Nosei Be'ol. He says, "How when we hear about the, you know, missiles falling in the north, or the missiles falling from Gaza, whatever." He says, "You know, are we really upset? You know?" And he says, "You don't have to go so far." He says, "You know, when your wife's not feeling well, your kids, everything. Do we take a pillow out from under us and say, you know, oh, you know, so I feel for my poor wife, my poor kid. You know, I can't sleep with the pillow tonight." He said, "No, right? Unfortunately, we're not on that material. So the Shem, we should be Nosei Be'ol with our fellow brethren, our fellow Yidden, and be Soicha through the Sachtos, the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu, Mimhera V'Yameinu."